buckets are being passed. And so I took a speaking class, two months ago. And they told you, don't ever sit down. And I'm going to sit anyways. Some people are runners, like Ken, the runner, Comb, you're a runner, and I am an avid sitter. I can really sit, and so I'm going to show that off today to you guys. But no, really, it is an honor to be able to speak with you guys, and I really pray that it is speaking with you and not just to you or at you. But I really hope to make a connection with you, and I hope that you guys leave challenged and encouraged and with a bigger idea of who God is today. And so I just want to start off by telling you guys my story, and I think that a lot of you guys will connect, because a lot of you were in the same exact spot I was, and a lot of you were in similar positions. And so growing up, I didn't know God at all, and my dad was raised Catholic and kind of rebelled against that, so we never went to church growing up. And but my old friends, when I was living on the south side of town, played basketball, and there was a basketball court at the youth ministry that they went to, and it was the cleanest court in town. I mean, they had the breakaway rims, they had the big old, the good backboards. Yeah, you guys remember, it was good. That was the place to play ball. And so I would play ball with them every day. I'd play ball with these guys after school. And after about a year of them nagging, I finally came to youth group. They were so persistent. I'm like, fine, I'll come to youth group, man. And I decided to go. The time I gave in was the time that they were going on a youth retreat. And so I went to a youth retreat, and God captured my heart, and my life was changed from then on. Woo! Yeah, it is awesome, yeah. And but it isn't all sunshine and rainbows, because some stuff happened at the church, and some stuff with the leadership, and the church started to fall apart at its seams. And some of you were there with me, and you guys walked through that same stuff together. We were going through the same thing, and others of you may have had a similar experience at a different church, or maybe have been burned by something in the past by a Christian. But what happened to me was that the church was falling apart, and my whole idea of who God was in this church. I've never even visited a different church. I thought, oh, you know, like, this is the place, like, this church, like, this is all I know of God, is what this church is and what it represents. And so it fell apart, and it crumbled beneath me, and then later, actually, the pastor ended up dying in an accident, and things just unraveled quick, man. The thread got pulled, and it all fell apart so fast, and I found myself down and out, really broken. The enemy really captured me, really made me feel worthless, and that this whole faith idea was a joke. God's not real. This church can't even stand together. And Nicole and I were dating at the time. Thank you for standing with me through that, because that was an extremely tough time. And I was not pleasant to be around during that time. So, Nicole, you're so awesome. You're so awesome. Thank you for sticking with me. I really appreciate that. Now you're my wife. And so, I made it up to you, I guess. And I will for the rest of our lives. So, but, I didn't mean that to be one of those moments. So, but seriously, though, I felt so down and out, and I didn't want to go to church ever again. I didn't even want to look for a different church. I'm like, this is just so stupid how all this could just fall apart like this. I was frustrated. I was mad. I was angry. And then one time, I was waiting in line at Panda Express. And that was my jam. That's where I ate lunch. I worked downtown, and I'm like, I get Panda Express or the burger place, and I'm like, Panda Express every single time. I'm waiting in line at Panda Express, waiting for my broccoli and beef, and I get a phone call from a person I've never gotten a phone call from before, and that was Pastor Josh. And he had my phone number from when we did some stuff in a college ministry together. But he never called me before. And he just reached out of the blue and was like, "Hey, man, I know you're going through some stuff, and I'd love to be here for you. And if you're looking for a place to go and a place to get plugged in, then know that Genesis would love to have you if you would want to come." And I was like, wow, really? Like, I got an invite to somewhere? Like, this is okay. You know, I can maybe stop being a little snooty for a minute and hop on board with this. And then a week later, Nicole and I tried Genesis, and we've been here ever since. No turning back. Yeah. 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 But Pastor Josh built a bridge to me. He reached out and made a phone call when I didn't get any of that from anyone else. And I think a lot of us in this room have been in a similar position. Feeling down and out, feeling like nobody cares, the world's passing you by. And then someone gave you a phone call or someone sent you a text. And maybe that's why you're in the chair today that you're in. It kind of sucks to look back at that and think that that happened. It kind of sucks that Jesus died, but thank God he rose again.
Yeah.
Hey-o! Little twist to that story. And I think our stories are very similar, that we can get up, we'll rise again. And even though we go through tough stuff, thank God that there's been someone in the past to build a bridge to you. That's what we're talking about today, is building bridges. Also, bridges is a funny word, because it sounds like britches. Have you guys seen the Target commercial? I shipped my pants. You can ship your pants directly from online to your house. Anyways, that's like an old thing, so the internet's been doing that for a long time. If that's new to you, then you're welcome, because it's super convenient. So, but let's dig into the word, because you guys, this wasn't the first time this has happened. It's happened before, and God lays out an awesome example in Genesis chapter 14. So what's going on here? We got Abram and Lot. And if you don't know, Abram was a lot like Cassius Clay, went on to have his name changed, right? We know him as Muhammad Ali. We know him now not as Abram, but as Abraham. So we got Abraham and Lot. And what had happened is Abraham and Lot were in a small place together, and their herds were growing. They were very prosperous. They both had a lot of cattle and goods and all that stuff. Whatever they grew back then, right? Whether it was goats and cows, and it was everything. So they both had a lot of it, but their space was limited. And so their herdsmen started to fight with each other, like, "Get out of here, dude. Like, don't cross this line. You know, like, I drew this line. You can't come to this side." And Abraham went to Lot and was like, "This is getting ridiculous. Why are our guys fighting? Like, there's so much other land out there. Why are we doing this? Like, why are we bickering over this, you know, square inch here?" And so Abraham says to Lot, "How about, Lot, you choose wherever you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction, and we'll have plenty of room to grow." And Lot goes, "Okay, I'll move over by Sodom." Have you guys ever heard of Sodom? It's not a nice place. So, bad choice, Lot. What happens next is that war breaks out, and that's where we find ourselves in Genesis 14, verse 11. It says, "So the enemy took all possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was there living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and of Aner. These were the allies of Abram. When Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and he also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions, and the women and the people." See, both Lot and I, I think a lot of you guys have found yourself in a position where you've been captured by the enemy. War has broken out. You feel torn. You feel incomplete. You feel hurt. You feel battered. You're down and out. As much as I want to say I've only been there once in my life, that's not true. But thank God that every time I go through something, someone builds a bridge for me. Thank God that Abraham built a bridge to Lot. It's a different looking bridge when you go rally up 318 of the boys and start a riot. Like, that's a little bit different than making a phone call. For most of us, it's going to be making a phone call if we want to build a bridge. But all bridges do the same thing. They may look different, but they do the same thing. All bridges connect people. And the reason that we want to build bridges, the reason that we do things the way that we do, the reason that we're passionate the way that we are here at Genesis, is because there's hundreds of thousands of stories in our city of people who don't know God. There are stories of people who are lost, who've been captured by the enemy, and they don't know what to do. But you guys, they matter. Yeah. Those people matter. Amen. Nailed it. There's so many stories out there of people that matter. Those people, their grandma's been praying for them for 40 years. Their friends have been praying for them for a year. That was me. My friends were praying for me. My friends were talking with me. Finally, I made a choice and I went in, and then God captured my heart. That could be the story of someone else out there, guys. That's someone else's story. They matter. You got to build bridges to get to them. If you don't know what I do here at the church, because I actually work here, I'll tell you. I am the G Group's director. And I say it as proper as I can, like pretending I have a monocle in my eye and like a red velvet jacket on. But really, that's just fancy for organizing hangouts. Because you guys, we push groups here at Genesis Church because we want you guys to hang out with each other. We want you guys to connect with each other. Groups are important. I'm taking a stand. Yeah. Groups matter. Yeah. You guys know what changes lives? Yeah. Good guess. Nailed it. You guys, I led up to that one so good. Sarah should not have been the only one to get that. You guys, all groups are is just a facilitated hangout. We just want to create opportunities for you guys to connect. When Pastor Josh invited me, maybe I wouldn't have stayed unless it was for you guys. There's a lot of you guys sitting in here. The reason I stayed, built friendships with me. At that time, the church was so small, it was kind of like one big group. But but as we grew and as we continue to grow, we need groups. We don't do a midweek service because we want you guys to be the church in homes. Not just here for 2 hours on a Sunday morning. Thank God our light shines in other times of the day, in other times of the week, than just this morning, huh? It's a flashlight with never-ending batteries. A lamp on a hill that can't be hidden. I wish I could rap a little bit better. I'm sorry for embarrassing you guys. See, you guys, when you're in a group, when you're plugged in and you're hanging out with people, every week, every other week, you got your homies that you're going to. When you're plugged into a group and you're serving in the church, the enemy can't capture you. He can't get to you. You got your homies at your back praying for you. You may not have 318 boys like Abraham did, but you got your boys who are ready to go start riots for you. Man, I wish you guys were getting a little bit more excited about this. Groups launch today. Yeah. Yeah, you guys, this I don't want this to be one big commercial. But I want you guys to understand the importance of groups. You may feel like we shove it down your throat, and then to that I would say, no, we don't. We bake you a nice cake and put it next to your sleeping head and say, wake up and eat it. Yeah. Eat this cake because it's good. Yeah. Okay, I will. You guys, we did not build groups to just have another thing on our resume. We weren't looking at the church's portfolio and go, how can we expand this and make us look better? Groups. No. That's not what happened. If that were the case, we would have just started a youth ministry. We do groups because it's how people get connected. It's how lives get changed. You do life with someone. When you know the name of someone's dog and where their bathroom is in their house, like, you're in. Like, you can connect with that. See, you guys, here's the thing, is that someone may not feel comfortable walking across a bridge to church, but someone may feel comfortable walking across a bridge into your living room.
Yeah. That's right.
Or a park or a library. Yeah. There's something about these four walls, or eight, or however, a circle, however the churches are shaped these days. There's something about it that can be intimidating. And that's okay, because we aren't the church just in here. We're the church all out there. We just get a facilitated opportunity through groups. And no, don't just stop at hanging out with your group once every other week. Like, hang out with your friends in the meantime. We pray that you develop friendships in your groups. We just built it so you guys can connect with each other. Like, I want to hang out with people. And so I'm like, join a group, join five groups. Like, hang out with people. That's awesome. I want to make excuses in my schedule to hang out with people. And then I talk to other people, and they're like, well, I'm not in any groups. And I'm like, bro, you want to hang out? Like, come to my sci-fi night. We'll watch movies, and it'll be really fun. Oh, okay. See, there's people who would come to my sci-fi group, our sci-fi group, since Nicole and I live together, our sci-fi group, and I didn't even know their name. I'd never met them before in my life. But they came, and they were like, this is awesome, dude. Like, thanks for hosting sci-fi night and letting me eat popcorn and Shock Tarts. You're welcome. It's great to see you. It's nice to meet you, and I hope to see you again. And you can build a relationship with they through your home, through your living room. You guys want to know what I'm going to do this term?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited to share it. And I'm so blessed that I get a microphone so I can make this proclamation to all of you. You guys, I'm having a video game group. It's an excuse to play video games with your friends on a Friday night for like 7 hours. It's going to be so awesome. 6 to 1 a.m.? 6 p.m., 1 a.m.? My wife's been such a good sport. She's like, I'll just go hang out at Krista's house. Like, you guys just do whatever. And yeah, Krista's husband will be with me, so why not? Why not hang out? That's right. If you're married and you're in our group, then all the ladies will have their own group to hang out in. You just come to Krista's house. That's awesome. That's so awesome. But you guys, we can't connect with they effectively if we aren't first connected with ourselves. We got to connect with ourselves first. You can't build a bridge to someone out there and say, hey, come into the church, man, and check it out and get plugged in. And then they come here, and they have nobody to hang out with because no one wants to hang out with them. And they have no idea how to get serving because no one talks to them. Thank God we're a house of hello, and you guys do a good job of saying hi to people. But we have to be connected in order to get them connected. They can only be as connected as we are. Now we got to lead the way. That's tough. No, it isn't, because all we're doing is hanging out with people. People in groups are so hard. All you do is hang out with people. You guys, look at New York City. New York City, for a long time, it has rivers running through it, if you don't know. Okay? For a long time, it wasn't even connected to itself. People who lived in Brooklyn couldn't commute to Manhattan for work. oh, and then ferries. Okay, well, we'll make ferries. And then people would die on the ferries because ferries are treacherous. Like, if you have a choice, don't take an old ferry. So they built bridges. And now New York's five boroughs are all connected with each other through bridges. And then New York grew fast. It blew up. It was the place to be on this side of the world. And it became a hub for the world. People would travel to New York, like, where are you going? Seattle? Nah, what's Seattle? I'm going to New York. Once New York was connected to itself, it was then connected to the world. It couldn't be the other way. People would come in, tourists would come in and be like, oh, what's this? Well, there's a big river, so you can't go see any of those cool buildings. Oh, well, then I'm just going to go home because this is a waste of time. It's so important that we're connected to ourselves because that's how they will get connected. Maybe you don't have room in your house to host someone, to invite someone over for dinner, but you know what? Your friend does, and they're doing a group next Tuesday night. So invite them to their house. Sometimes you just let it sit. Just let it sink in. You let it get a little heavy. And it's awesome. They matter. That person out there has a story. God loves them. And therefore, so do I. I love that person. God, if you love me enough to just love me, then you know what? I'm going to love whoever else that you love, which is everyone. So I'm going to go out and love everyone. And they matter to you, so they matter to me too. And I'm going to do everything I can. I will not be outworked by the devil. I'm going to go get that person. That should be all of our attitude. None of us should be willing to be outworked by the devil. Especially when, oftentimes for us, all it takes is picking up a cell phone, which you have in your pocket. It's not even a rotary phone. You don't even have to do the finger thing anymore. You just pick it up and you just go, call Bob. And Siri does it for you. Like, it's so easy. Maybe we're just getting lazier. See, they matter, and they have a story. You guys heard of Jesus? You guys heard of the Jesus guy? If you've never read the Pigeon Bible, it's like the Hawaiian pigeon language. Read the Bible version, because it is awesome. It is so awesome. But Jesus built a bridge with a guy named Peter. Jesus was preaching from his boat one day, and he's like, okay, well, I'm done preaching, so Pete, go out and cast your nets down and go get some fish. He's like, dude, I fished all night and I didn't get any fish. What are you talking about? But I'll do it again since you told me. And he did, caught a bunch of fish. Jesus built a bridge with Peter through that. And if you guys know the story, if you've read the rest of the gospel, you know that Peter goes on to walk on water. But you can make the argument that Peter never would have walked on water if Jesus first didn't give him an opportunity to cast down his nets. They have a story out there. They have miracles out there. But what if we never see him because we don't first build a bridge to that person? Whose miracle are we going to let go missing? Thank you, Tuck. We shouldn't let anybody's miracle go missing. Every single chair in this room, empty chair, is an opportunity for someone's story. There's still like over 80,000 people in this zip code alone who don't know Jesus. That should get someone fired up because that means we got work to do. Lots of work. Yeah. Good thing you guys got unlimited minutes after 7. Make all those phone calls. I've been dieting for the last month.
Way to go. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's nice to be able to fit into some of my own old clothes. You know, you kind of put it off for so long, you're like, eh, and then you just go buy like a cheap pair of jeans and then they rip and you're like, eh, okay, maybe I should just go back and fit into my five that I have. But thank you to Nicole for calling me out. And your body's a temple, so you should really take care of it because you get one of them.
Yeah.
YOLO, so wear a helmet. You get one body, right? So take care of it. Yeah. But you guys, for a long time, my diet was so out of whack. I was so messed up in my thinking. Here's how messed up I was. Whenever I would have a stomachache, I would eat peanut butter cups and Coke to make me feel better. And without a doubt, it made me feel better. Yeah, if you guys know me, you guys know. You guys know, Nicole knows. Nicole's like, this is not okay. And this needs to stop now. To be completely fair and honest with Nicole, I might have had a stomachache that day because I didn't have peanut butter cups and Coke in the first place, and it was just withdrawals. And so I just needed that fix, you know? Yeah. But that was just a barrier. The peanut butter cups and Coke were just a barrier that the enemy created for me. No, Mike, don't get thin. Like, eat the peanut butter cups and Coke. Like, you don't have to take care of your body because peanut butter cups and Coke make you feel better. I went to Rayanne and I had a ton of cavities. Okay, these are my confessions. I went to Rayanne because she's a dental hygienist, and I went to her, and Nicole's like, we're getting married, like, fix your teeth. And I'm like, okay, Rayanne, like, help me out. I went, I had six cavities. You guys, that's a lot of peanut butter cups and Coke. Like, that's a lot. But all that was a barrier. The enemy creates barriers to keep us from getting connected, to keep us from reaching where we want to be. They out there have a ton of barriers in their life. But the awesome thing about bridges is that you build them right over a barrier. So whatever you got, devil, whatever river you want to put in, whatever negative thoughts you want to put in their mind, that's cool because we'll just build a bridge right over it.
Woo!
Yeah. We'll build a bridge right over that and right into my living room. And we'll hang out, and then I'll pray with you, and you'll come to church with me, and then you'll love Jesus.
Amen.
Just like that. We all know someone. We all can think of that person who we should build a bridge to. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're frightened. Maybe you're scared of rejection. But whatever barriers the enemy is putting up, you guys, just build a bridge over it. There's 80,000 stories in our zip code alone that need to be realized. That's 80,000 potentially missed miracles. All we got to do is just go reach out. Make a phone call. On a very rare occasion, maybe you need to rally up the boys and start a riot.
Yeah.
But you guys, go reach out. Get connected in a group. And if you don't have anywhere to invite them into your home, then you know what? Talk to your group leader and invite them to their home. We make opportunities for this, guys. Can we pray?